How amazing is it that we can worship together? Come on. Anybody excited to be here today? The Lord is in this place. His Spirit is here. The family's gathered again. It's really great to be with you guys. And so what I want to do today is I just want to thank God for the opportunity we have to lift him up. And I want to use today as kind of a time to encourage one another in this. And so we've pushed the Red Letter Challenge back and we've kind of tweaked what we're going to do today. And so a little bit of a standalone message. And what I want to do today is, yes, Irma came and Irma had some devastation on us, and especially in our state, it impacted a lot of people. What I want to do this morning is I want to talk about three choices that we as Jesus followers can make before, during, and after the storm. So one choice before, one choice during, and one choice after the storms that come in our life. Because Hurricane Irma has come and gone, and not being from Florida, the only real hurricane I went through was last year's Matthew, but that really veered off, especially for Central Florida, so we didn't really get to see much effects of that. And so this was really the first hurricane that I feel like we've braved through together, and Irma had a different feel from the beginning, and it felt very serious, and it was very serious, and there's a lot of devastation and a lot of people that have been hurt and impacted negatively from this storm, especially in our great state. I'm grateful that in Lake County, well, we are by and large good. Everybody that I know is safe, and God has brought us through this. There's been some damaging winds and some things and some possessions of ours that have been damaged, and that's difficult. And some places experienced flooding locally, and probably the biggest inconvenience of it all for many of us was the loss of power, right? That was difficult for us, and it was difficult for us to read a lot of people posting on Facebook about how we have power, and we're all who don't have power extremely jealous of you and starting to hate you because of how whatever. We lost power for a few days. It came back on Wednesday late afternoon for us. And what I've noticed kind of in Irma, the before, the during, and the aftermath of Irma, is you really see the true character of people in a storm. Before, during, and after the storm, you see the true character of a person. And I saw some people that, man, they were complaining and they were negative and they were cursing. And I'm on my Next Door app in my neighborhood, and I got to see the best and worst of my neighbors on that app. And some people, we should call the power companies and curse them out and yell at them. And why aren't you doing this? And yeah, let's do that. And I'm all sitting back thinking, why would you do that? They're working hard. They've got men and women that many of them have traveled out of state, that have left their families. They're working through the night. If anything, we need to pray for them. I get it. You want your power back. I realize that. I wanted mine back too. And there's still probably, how many of you are still without power? So there's still some folks without power. And I want you to know, by this is genuine from my heart, like that website we have, thecrossmountdoor.org/Irma, if you need anything, let us know. If you need a generator because you want to stay in your house, cool. We've got people that have extra generators now. If you need a place to stay, there are people that said, I will give my house to somebody to stay. We will help you with that. You don't have to weather this alone if that's a need for you. And so please reach out if it is. And we'd love, love, love to help you. Because that's what we do in the storm, right? We make the best of it. And you see the real character of people through it all. And so that's what we try to do. And so when the power came out in the Zender house, we did this crazy thing that hasn't happened for 20 years in our nation. We went outside. Yeah. Right? Was that not the most beautiful day ever on Monday? It was amazing. And we went out, and I don't know about you if you went outside, but we actually saw human beings on sidewalks and in their yards and on their porches, and they were waving, and it was crazy. It's like, wow, this is what humanity used to be. Crazy. And so we made the best of it. We went on walks and runs and bike rides as families. And I remember on Tuesday afternoon, we live in Stony Brook Hills, and there's a Publix right in front of it. And so we were like, well, they don't have power up there, but let's just walk up there as a family. And so we walked, the kids were on their bikes, and we got up there, and it's like, oh, wait, there's cars up there. Is Publix open? And we did like a little touchdown dance when Publix opened. It was run by generators. But like, man, how great is it to be in a grocery store again, right? It was amazing to be in a grocery store. And I just wanted to hang out in the frozen food section a little while longer. It was crazy. We saw people in Leesburg just plugging in devices at the mall because Leesburg's amazing. And they never, most safest city in the state, whatever. But they had power. And so Viaport Mall actually had people in it. Crazy what Irma did, right? that was kind of mean, but kind of true. And so we were active. We made the best of it. And so usually I go to bed with a fan at night to kind of for the coming. And even though I didn't, the air is good too, but there was a breeze one of the nights. So even without power, there was a breeze coming. And even though I didn't have a fan, I was thankful for my neighbors who had their generators going, because then that made the noise that the fan normally made for me. And so I just want to say thank you to my neighbors, not for giving me your generator, but just for using it for you. It actually helped me. So anyway, there's a lot of great stuff. And I think in the midst of a storm, you learn a lot about people and you see the true character in others. And what I want to say is, if in a storm, before, during, and after, you see the true character of a person more than any other time, then how much more important in that time we represent Jesus.
Right.
I'm on this mission, and that's what the Red Letter Challenge is all about. We have to represent Jesus better. And it's not out of obligation. It's, man, I am compelled to live like Jesus, to represent him greater because of all that he's done for me. I have to show the world who Jesus is. And if you're telling me I can do that in a greater way during a storm, then I want to know, how do I do that? And that's what we talk about today. And so I've got three choices, because again, Irma may have come and gone for you. Now it's done. But now what? Just life is normal, right? And for some of us, it's like, well, that's great that Irma came and gone and we made it through. But Pastor Zach, I still have a lot of storms that I go through in my life. I'm not out of the woods yet. You haven't seen my bank account, Pastor Zach. It's even less after all those hurricane supplies, especially all them snacks. Only Americans can get fatter in a storm, by the way. I'm just saying. I mean, a lot of you look beautiful, but a lot of you look bigger, and not bigger thinking, bigger today than you did last week, 2 weeks ago. So I still got storms, Zach. You don't know what my bank account's like. Zach, I'm still dealing with a storm called cancer. Zach, I'm still dealing with what I think is a failed marriage. And I'm stuck in a relationship I can't get out of. And have you seen the storm that is my 2-year-old that I wake up with every day? So there's still storms. And so what do we do if the true character of a person is shown in a storm? What do we do? I've got three choices, one before, one during, and one after the storm, that we as Jesus followers are going to make. First choice, and this happens before the storm, while the storm is still brewing. This is the reason why we gathered the Thursday night before the storm. We're going to choose to pray and not to panic. In fact, let's say that together. I choose to pray and not to panic. One more time. I choose to pray and not to panic. You see, when Irma started coming and we knew it was headed our way, like, some people were panicking. Oh, no! And a week before, it was crazy. Gas stations were out and bottled water was out and batteries were nowhere to be found. And people would post somewhere, there's gas here, and then everybody would go there and then that would be full. And listen, it's good to prepare. Panic is different than preparation. But what I could see in a lot of people, in their mannerisms and just their general attitude, and especially their Facebook updates, their status updates, is, wow, people are panicking here. I mean, you hear stories of people, and some of you might have even seen them, of people fighting over the last case of bottled water. And I'm thinking, that is nothing other than fear and panic to think that I have to have this or my life is going to be over. And let me tell you that if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if you do not have the hope of eternal life, if you are not living for him and living for yourself, then let me tell you, when Irma and stuff like that comes around, you have every right to panic.
That's right.
It is your stuff that Irma is coming after. That's why a lot of us are afraid. That's why a lot of us are panicking. Many of us in Lake County, we weren't scared for our life. We were scared for our stuff. Because when you have so much stuff, your stuff starts to own you. And I get it. Stuff's important. But man, we ought never to be a people of panic. And I love the verse that Mark reminded us of on Thursday night at that prayer and prep service in Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I want you to know whatever storm, whether it's a hurricane or something brewing on the inside of your house or the inside of your body, I want you to know that you can run to God. He is a strong tower and he will keep you safe no matter what's going on in your life. I believe that panic is the enemy, the devil's playground. When you are panicking, the devil has you right where he wants you. When you panic, you become vulnerable. When you panic, you start making bad decisions. And let me say this, when you panic, you don't reflect Jesus living inside of you. Because Jesus lives inside of you, we have confidence. He is that cornerstone. He will make the weak strong. That's the confidence that I have. No matter what comes my way, I've got confidence in Jesus. And so I don't need to panic, because if Jesus comes and takes my stuff, that's my stuff. That's no big deal. That's not why I'm here. And if Jesus comes and takes my, if Irma comes and takes my life, I'm good to live as Christ, to die as gain. So it doesn't matter what comes my way. And I want you to remember, we don't need to panic, because the same God that spoke creation into existence, let there be light, the same Jesus that woke up on a boat and said, quiet, be still, and the wind and the waves were calm, that God lives inside of you. That is your God. That God is my God, and that God lives inside of us, and that God is with us in the storms, and that God is for us and not against us, the Word of God says. And so it doesn't matter if the odds are stacked against us. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. What I know and what you know is that God's shown up for me time and time again. He'll continue to show up for me. Doesn't matter what storms come in my life, God will come through for me. You can't take my God down. They tried once. They buried him in the ground even, but 3 days later, my God, your God, that God rose from the dead, defeated death, devil, and the sin, and now lives inside of me. So when storms come, I don't have to panic. I can pray. That's what prayer. When I pray to that God. That's that God that I pray to. That's the one that lives in me. When I pray to him, I pray to a God that is so powerful, but a God that also says, I'm your father. I'm your friend. And so for whatever reason, and it's, you can't explain it. The Word of God says even the peace passes understanding. But when storms come and everybody else is panicking, we can drop to our knees and pray. And we've got calm. We've got peace. Because God is with us. And so what storms are in your life? What storms are coming in your life right now? Might be some of you that Irma is just a distraction for the bigger storm, which is my marriage is a mess right now. My marriage is a mess. And so what are you going to do? Panic or pray? Are you gonna give up on your marriage? Or are you gonna stay in and fight for the vows that you promised before God, family, and friends that you would keep for better, for worse, till death do us part? What are you gonna do? Panic or pray? Because I'll tell you, the devil, he wants you to panic, and he wants to remind you that there's no way you're going to make it through this stuff that you're going through right now. You can't make it through that. But let me tell you, the devil is a liar, and no devil in hell is going to trick me with that, because I'm not listening to the devil, because I'm talking to Jesus. Let me say it this way. You can pray and speak with God, or you can panic and let the devil speak to you. That should have been amen for everybody. I'll amen myself on that. I didn't even steal that from anybody. I didn't steal that. That's me. I mean, it's God through me, obviously, but you know that. You can pray to God, or you can panic and let the devil speak to you. You have a choice to make, and I choose not to panic. I choose to pray. And so you can see your bank account going in the wrong direction, and you can get afraid and you can get scared because you've only got X amount of days left to go before it hits negative balance and payments are due and you're not going to be able to make it. And you can panic and you can freak out, or you can get on your knees and pray and say, thank you, God, for providing for me up to this point. You're still the great provider, and I trust that you will continue to provide for me even in the times when I don't see it coming and I don't know where it's coming from. God, I believe in you and I trust in you. And watch what God does. Some of you fight a storm called cancer. And when I want to ask you, when you first heard that word from the doctor, what was your initial response? Was it a panic, or was it, hey, let's pray about this? So I want you to know that God absolutely will heal you. I know that for a fact. I believe God will heal some of you instantaneously. I believe God will heal some of you through doctors and nurses and chemo and medicine and the great medical world that we have. And I believe that for those that are in Christ Jesus, God will heal you on the last day when he returns. You will not suffer from cancer any longer. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And God can do it now. He can do it later. He can do it then. We don't need to panic. We pray. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he went there to panic. No, he didn't. What did he do? He prayed. And it always shocks me, like God, Jesus is fully man, fully God. It always shocks me that if Jesus felt the need or the urge to pray as half God, half man, or fully God, fully man, how much more do we need it? Like if Jesus stopped to pray, like it's got to be important, right? It's got to be important if Jesus. And so before the storm called the crucifixion came into his life, Jesus prayed. He did not panic. Before the storm, we will not panic. We will pray. During the storm, we'll make another choice. And the storm, when it comes, we're going to choose faith and not fear. Let's say that together. I choose faith and not fear. One more time. I choose faith and not fear. And I'll be honest, when the winds came early on Monday morning, it's a little bit scary, right? A little bit terrifying, wasn't it? I mean, those are some powerful, powerful winds. And ultimately what it reminded me of is I'm not in control anymore. As much prep as I've done, right? As many windows as we've boarded up, as much gas as we have in our tanks and in the four jugs that we've filled up extra, as many tubs as we've filled to the brim, as many, hurricane snacks that we've bought. Well, that stinks because they're already eaten by the time the hurricane even came. As many bottles of water we have, like my prep for this thing, I can't do anything possibly more. All of a sudden, I am out of control. Newsflash, you are never in control. But all of us need moments like this. And I'm not saying this is why God sent it. But moments like this remind us that you are not in control, because way too often I do this. I'm so guilty of this. I want to be in control of everything. And all of a sudden when I feel and hear mostly, you know, these winds and how loud they are, I realize, man, I am not in control. When I've lost power in my house, I realize I don't have control. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. And the question when you're not in control, which you never are, is this: do you trust that God is in control? Because that's going to be the way you answer, either by faith or by fear. What if we were a people that trusted in God no matter what? The day before the storm, I was doing my devotions with the kids at the breakfast table, and the story came in Daniel chapter 3 about three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And for whatever reason, every time you start with Shadrach, the real strong Christians like to say Meshach and Abednego. Like, you won't amen the entire service. You won't clap or say hallelujah or preach it, brother, or boom shakalaka, or that's really good. But when I say Shadrach, for whatever reason, the hardcore Christians always want to say Meshach and Abednego with it.
That's right.
Just something I noticed. But last service, there was a few people that did it too. So it's Shadrach. And I don't know why they're always in that order. That's backwards alphabetical. I don't get it. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're reading this story about them. And I knew this story. I've heard it many times. It was something they said that really stuck out to me. So let me give you a little bit of the context of the story. At this moment, the Israelite people had been captured by the Babylonians. They were the ones in power. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the mighty king of Babylon. And most of the time, he was evil. And so King Nebuchadnezzar picked all these strapping, young, handsome men that were the Israelites and wanted to grow them up in kind of his kingdom and teach them their ways. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of those people. And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had constructed a 90-foot by 9-foot image of gold, a massive statue. Some people think that it was of himself, and that would fall in line with kind of what we know about him. And so at the time, he had constructed this massive image. And in Daniel 3, verse 5 and 6, he says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as well as everybody else in the nation, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither. Does anybody play the zither? We're looking for a zither player in our worship team. I don't even know what a zither is. If anybody know what a zither is? A few of you? Well, I'm excited about adding a zither to our band if anybody wants. Apparently, there's a lot of demand for it. But anyway, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. And so the music is played and everybody bows down and may the king live forever, may the king live forever. But these three men stood their ground and they did not do it. And they were pointed out to Nebuchadnezzar. And so he kind of goes over and he gives them a second warning. He says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the flute, the horn, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you don't worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then he says, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shouldn't have asked that one, Nebuchadnezzar. And what stuck out to me is their response to Nebuchadnezzar. And again, I read this the day before the storm. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, if Hurricane Irma comes, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Faith, not fear. This was cool, the next verse though. But even if he does not, even if Irma still comes and does its thing, we want you to know, your majesty, that we still will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up. Right. What they're saying is, whether the storm comes or not is irrelevant to us. Right. We believe and we trust in Jesus. And so we believe that if you throw us in there, God's going to rescue us. But you know what? If that's not in his plans, we don't always understand it. We can say that. We don't always understand his plans. So if that's not in his plans, then fine. But we will not waver in our faith. We will praise God in the good and the bad. When the storms come and when the storms cease, we will continually praise our God. It doesn't matter what happens. And I love this. I love that when they're thrown in, many of you know the story, there was a fourth person that the king noticed was in the fire. And you knew who that fourth person was? It was Jesus Christ. He rescued them from the fire. He rescues us from the storms still today. That's what Jesus does. He rescued them and he came and they came out. And at that moment, King Nebuchadnezzar actually decreed that if anyone said anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would be cut into pieces and the houses of theirs would be turned into piles of rubble. So don't speak about negatively about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Don't do it. And so what happened and what started as I'm going to set up a statue 90 by 9, probably of myself, and everybody's going to worship me. At the end of the day, the king is worshiping Jesus Christ, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love how God can turn a storm into something where he rescues people. That's what he does. Another story I love in the Old Testament is the story of Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites, when he sent them into Canaan, which is the land that God promised to give to the Israelites. And so he sent 12 spies from Israel to go see the land. And they came back and 10 of the spies said, it's not a good time to go. There are giants over there. Their walls are fortified. Their city is strong. Their army is massive. We cannot go over there and attack. And Joshua and Caleb said, listen, we've looked at the facts and we know, we verify everything that they're saying. But listen, God said it would be ours. And so we need to go. We need to attack. And what they did is they did not look, and they looked at the facts, but they did not react in fear. They acted in faith because God had already said it. God had declared it. And I'm here to tell you that God has said some things already. God has declared some things already, that God has good plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I want to tell you that God will make true on those promises, that God will come through for you no matter what it looks like out there. We are a people of God. We're a faith filled. Big thinking family. That means when everybody else doesn't see the good, when everybody else doesn't see the need for Jesus in their life, when everybody else says that people are running away from the church, we will ignore those facts because God said the church is mine and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I'll set up my church and I will do my thing. And we as the people of Jesus will take him at his word and say, we're not scared. We hear all the horror stories. We read all the stats. We know where people are at. We know where our country's morals are going to, but we will stand firm and we believe in Jesus Christ that he will continue to build his church. And so we have eyes of faith and not of fear in the midst of the storm. And here's why it can be hard. Because we don't always know how it's going to work out. And so that's difficult. It's difficult. Like, we prayed Irma would go away, would stop completely, would move so it wouldn't impact anybody. It didn't. It devastated and impacted a lot of people negatively. There's a lot of people that are hurting right now. We don't understand why, how God would allow something like that. And the tendency is to want to put a nice answer on that question when the reality is we do not understand God's ways and thoughts at times. We understand enough. He's revealed enough to us to show us how good he is, especially through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God never asked you to fully understand him. God never asked you to run his world. What he asked you to do was believe in him and trust in him, even when you don't understand why the storms come. And that's what we do. God, whether you bring a storm or not, I believe you'll save us. But even if you don't, I'll praise you anyway. That's what I'll do. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not panicked. But he also said this prayer. He said, Father, is there any way to remove this cup from me? In other words, God, is there any other way? Like, do I have to do this? I want you to know that you don't always have to want the storm to come. Like, even Jesus was honest with himself, with God. Even he had that very human moment where it's like, oh man, this is going to be really hard. Do I have to do it this way? And I think a lot of us are like, do I have to go through the storm? Like, I think that's an okay emotion. In fact, I know it is because I see it in Jesus. But at the end of it, we can ask that and we can say, God, do we have to do it this way? But at the end of Jesus' prayer, what he said is, but not my will be done, your will be done. And so I have faith, not fear, that God will do what he needs to do, that God will rescue us. But if he doesn't, I'll praise him for God. I don't necessarily want to do it that way, but not my will, your will be done. Yes. And the third choice we make after the storm, I choose action, not apathy. Come on, let's say that together. I choose action and not apathy. In a world that has become so focused on self and individual, one of the great blessings that comes out of tragedy is you really do get to see the best of people. That's right. And I will say, as pastor of the Cross, I've never been more proud of this family. I've never been more proud because we gathered before the storm came. We prayed about it. We prepped. We set up a website where if anybody needs help, they can go to that website. We also, on that same link, on that same page, had other people. If you don't need help, but you just want to help, you can sign up here. And every person that submitted a need has been helped by a team of people that said we can help. And there's only two or three that are outstanding still that are pending because it just needs to happen at a later date. Everything that needed to happen has happened. And I want to say this family was going out even on Saturday, right before the storm hit, in the afternoon, to Fruitland Park, to a woman that I don't even know is a part of our church that somehow found out about the website. And within a half hour, we had a team of people that were boarding up windows, knocking down trees, and hauling it away right before the storm. And everybody else was holed up behind their plywooded windows and doors. We, the people of God, said, no, we're going to go out and we're going to continue to help people because that's what Jesus did for us. He came into my mess and he helped me when I had a need. And so I'm going to go help people when they have a need. And I'll tell you, you people stepped up in ways that are so incredible, and I'm so excited about what you did already. I believe God has done great things. What I love is that Christians are helping those that don't believe in Jesus, and we're getting the opportunity either with our mouths, but for sure with our hands and our feet, of showing people who Jesus is. I read an article that said 80% of the relief efforts that have happened so far in Harvey and Irma haven't come from FEMA or anyone else, but they come from Christians. They've come from churches. That's the church. That's the Jesus. Jesus we need to represent right there. That's what we need to be known for right there in that moment. We do this thing better than any government or any system in this world can come up with. But sometimes it takes something like this to get us organized and motivated and remember that God is in control, and we got to show people who he is and be his hands and feet. And I'm so proud of what you've done already. And I'm so proud of what we're going to continue to do, because it's not over. We at the Cross, if you heard the video or seen the stuff, you already know we're giving $20,000 of those plant and build funds I was talking about earlier, $20,000 towards hurricane relief. That's money that's already been received from you guys. And so thank you for your generosity. And we're going to meet some needs around the community. We're hoping to buy not one, but two disaster relief trailers. And we're going to send some teams out. Our hope is to have those trailers in hand by the end of October. And we're going to send teams, boots on the ground, November, December. So we help in this relief. But in every other hurricane that will come up or every other storm, we got a team of people that's ready to go. And so if that's you, if you say, man, I want to be on that team, I'd say grab the Next Steps card out of the seat in front of you. And there's an other box on the bottom. Click other, put hurricane relief, put your name and your email on it. We're going to get in touch with you those dates, and we're going to go continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in powerful, powerful ways. We don't always understand why the storms come, but we choose not to panic, but to pray. We choose to have fear and not, we choose to have faith and not fear. And we choose apathy and not, no, we don't. We choose action and not apathy. At the Cross, our slogan is we reject apathy and we embrace action. That's what we do. Because through it all, as we said, storms give us the opportunity to show people the character of Jesus. Jesus is very familiar with storms. Jesus is not nervous in a storm. Jesus is not biting his fingernails watching Fox News or CNN. Jesus is not pacing back and forth as the media tries to hype you up in a frenzy over what's coming. Jesus is that strong tower. Jesus is that cornerstone. And if Jesus is those things, then I ought to be, and you ought to be too. And we don't always understand why storms come, but I'll tell you this, as much as we maybe don't like storms, storms make us stronger. As the book of 2 Kelly Clarkson, chapter 3, verse 1 says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Not too good at Kelly. I'm more of a Shakira when I do karaoke, but I got them hips that don't lie. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, just went a weird direction all of a sudden. What I'm here to say is that if you've ever survived a storm, I want to tell you there's a reason for it. I want to tell you it's made you stronger. It's no surprise that the people that have beat cancer are often the ones to help those going through cancer. It's no surprise to me that the ones that have actually endured some marital difficulties are now the ones leading marriage classes for young people. It's not a surprise to me that those who've been through financial debt and come out of it are the ones teaching people how to be smart with their money. It's not a shock to me that the ones that have lost a child way too early are the ones that give the greatest comfort and consolation to other families who've lost children way too early. It's not surprising to me that those who have beat addiction make the ones that are the best therapists addiction counselors out there. Once you've been through a storm, you've weathered that storm, you know how to help people in ways that you maybe didn't know before that. And Jesus Christ has come into your life, into our life, into our mess, into our storm, and he's rescued us so that we rescue others. You tell a lot about a person by the way they handle a storm. And I want to say I'm so proud of this faith-filled family. I've had so many people that through text or Facebook or a phone call or this thing called email that's now no longer even that popular. I had so many people say, hey man, what do you need? Are you okay? Do you need something? We opened our house. You opened your house. So many people, when they got power back, it wasn't like, hey, we got power back in a braggy way, but it's, hey, we got power back. Does anybody need a cold shower or coffee or air, or not a cold shower, a warm shower or coffee or air conditioning? You already got a cold shower, but you opened up your homes. And when your power came back on, you said, I got a generator. Who needs it? Or I got a house. Who needs to stay? So many of you did that. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart as your pastor. Because I feel like before we embark on this 40-day challenge to put the words of Jesus into practice, we had a little crash course. But Irma ain't going to stop us any longer. Irma's not stopping us any longer. And there's one last thing I want to tell you about storms in this world. I want you to know they're temporary. I want you to know that they are temporary. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him," not to Duke, "to him be the power." Get it? That was funny. But anyway, "to him be the power forever." Get it? Don't use that one for 547. Jeez, that was rough. "To him be the power." One joke too many. I get it. Okay. Too soon. Also, I get that. "To him be the power forever and ever." Amen. "After you've suffered a little while, he himself will restore you." And I know sometimes it feels like a long time, but in the scope of it all, it's just a little while, and he himself will restore you. These storms are temporary. I want you to know, have you ever read a book, like a novel, it's long, and like you've been stuck in the middle, and it's suspenseful? Have you ever like flipped to the last page just to make sure the name of the main character is still there? Just to make sure everything is okay? Because this temporal thing that's happening here is kind of freaking you out. I want to let you in on a secret. God says it's okay to flip to the end. It's okay in your struggle, in your storm, in your tough times, for you to flip to the end and see that this suffering is only a little while, and that he himself is coming back to restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. These storms that we go through, they make us stronger in this world. We get to show people who Jesus is. And so in these storms, I choose what? I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose to pray and not to panic. I choose faith and not fear. I choose action and not apathy, because that's what Jesus chose for me. After the Garden of Gethsemane, after he prayed, after he had faith, Jesus was active, and he spread his arms and he spread his body on the cross for you and for me. The perfect sinless one could have said, "I don't care. Why am I doing this?" Could have been apathetic. He didn't do anything wrong, but instead he said, "You know what? I love these people. They're my children. They're the ones that I've created, and so I'm going to give everything for them." He himself will restore you. He already has, and he will again. Come on, let's stand up in this place right now. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you've weathered the most difficult storm of all, and that we get to be on the winning side. God, we thank you we can flip to the end and see that it's all good. This is good. It all works out, Lord, and we will be the people of God, storms or not, for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, whatever it may be. God, we will choose to cling to you, Christ, our cornerstone. Come on, let's praise Jesus in this place. Lift your hands.